Despite the president's executive order on Wednesday, the more than 2,300 children already separated from their parents may not immediately be reunited. But it was a groundswell of vocal opposition that brought about the president's decision to undo his administration's policy in the first place, opposition from people who we don't often think of as traditional opponents to the president or the Republican Party. On June 1st, a coalition of evangelical groups sent a letter to President Trump asking him to protect the unity of immigrant families. And this week, religious leaders from across the country came to D.C. to meet with politicians and to advocate an end to the family separation crisis. Reverend Alan Cross was among them. A self-described lifelong Republican, Cross is a Southern Baptist minister from Montgomery, Alabama. I spoke with Reverend Cross about how he got interested in immigration and why he believes faith leaders need to continue to speak out.
I was pastoring in Montgomery, Alabama, and there was an immigration bill that was passed in Alabama called HB 56, and I had not been paying much attention to that. One day, I just decided to read the bill because I was hearing about it in the news, and when I read the bill, I saw multiple provisions that actually affected religious liberty. There was a ministry that we were doing to immigrants in our community that had now become illegal with the law, like if we transport anyone from one place to another, if we had state workers who didn't turn in undocumented immigrants, things like that, then they could lose their jobs or we could be afoul of the law. And when I saw that, I became concerned. How could a law pass in Alabama with all of our churches and, you know, the presence of Baptists being so strong and we care about religious liberty? How could that pass without us even looking to see if this affected the ministry of our churches? So that's what initially got me thinking about this. And then I began to look into the whole situation. I started listening. This is around 2011, 2012, and started looking into what was happening with immigration. And as I studied and read, I became pretty alarmed by what I was finding. And so that alerted me. Then I began to study the scriptures and see what the Bible said about it. And that began to change my thinking on how I saw the immigration situation.
So many questions on that front. I want to reference the Bible in a minute, going back to Attorney General Sessions. But before that, the president is the party of family values, right? At least that was one of the platforms that the party generally has run on. How does this reconcile with that idea of family values?
You know, I'm a lifelong Republican voter and conservative, and have always appreciated that aspect of the Republican Party and of the conservative movement. But, you know, it's easy for us sometimes to see family values related to our own families and to families that we know. And we sometimes don't extend those same values to others or to people we don't know or maybe to people that we think might be a threat. And so I think that's the concern, that if we really do believe in family values, that we apply that to all people. And that's something that I think that the church, especially Southern Baptists at this point, and other evangelicals are beginning to speak out on and say this is important, that we extend the same values to all families.
Now, Attorney General Jeff Sessions used a verse from the Bible, I believe it was Romans 13, to justify the zero tolerance policies that are taking place at the U.S.-Mexico border.
If you violate the law, you subject yourself to prosecution. And I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
As a clergy member, what are your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, he was referencing Romans 13, 1 through 7. And, you know, this is an important passage as part of Scripture. It's something we believe, that we should give respect to government. But this isn't a free pass for government to do whatever it wants and for the church to submit to that. We live by a higher law, which is God's law. And it's our job to hold government accountable to what is right and what is good and what is moral and just according to Scripture. We have a mandate as Americans, but also in Scripture, to be able to speak with a voice, the call for justice and the call for what's right.
And when you look at what's happening at the border right now, why have we, in addition to the president's rhetoric, what else do you think is driving this lack of empathy, quite frankly, towards the people who are currently at the border?
I think we often have a tendency to fear what we don't know and to fear what we don't understand. And then we're told that these people are a threat, their future MS-13, their future gang members. And so that fear of trying to protect and defend our way of life often seems to override what is the biblical call that we lay down our life for others, that we consider others better than ourselves, and we look after the interests of others, not just our own. That's what Scripture calls us to do. That's what Christianity is about. It's what Jesus did for us, that he laid down his life for us, that we would have salvation.
But that
salvation
seems to be getting lost, Reverend. I mean,
it seems
to be something where we're now at a place in American history where we have over 2,000 children who have been separated from their families.
So we have to speak. It is getting lost. And so we have to make that case. That's what Southern Baptists did last week in a resolution on immigration, where we made that case. 9,000 Southern Baptists gathered representing 15 million Southern Baptists. And we made the case on immigration. These people have worth and value, and we should love them and consider them and welcome them and incorporate them as best we can. We want people to come legally in the right way. Everyone wants that. But we don't need to fear people, and we don't need to push people away.
And your parishioners, are there conversations that you're having with the congregation about how to approach this difficult topic?
Right. You know, like I said, I work with a lot of pastors and churches now. I'm not pastoring the church that I was pastoring before, because I'm working on broader issues. You know, I was concerned for a long time about whether or not evangelicals would ever speak on an issue because there was such, you know, support kind of across the board. But I think we're seeing that happen now. I'm definitely hearing people say, what can we do about this? How can we speak into this? And then I'm also hearing people say, this is, you know, they've come illegally, and what happens happens, and, you know, they shouldn't have come in the first place. And so there is definitely conversation happening about what is the way forward. But more and more, I am hearing people in Alabama and the South who are saying this issue is a bridge too far.
Reverend, is this a selective morality from the religious community? What about people who are suffering, say, in Puerto Rico? Did it take this for the church to say, now is the time?
Yeah, and again, you know, trying to speak for everyone is problematic. I know people who, you know, Christians and Baptists who have been to Puerto Rico to help. There's a consistent desire to help people. I mean, what triggers outrage and what triggers people to say, okay, you know, on a policy level, this has to change.
Thank you.
You know, that's difficult to speak to with the Puerto Rico situation. You know, things were happening over time, and we were, you know, given assurances that everything was okay. And so for a lot of people, I think, paying attention, it didn't spike at a level that, you know, that caused people to really understand what was happening, at least if they weren't connected to it. This is a little bit different, where you do have visible images of parents and children, and you're seeing children taken away from parents. And that's something, again, you know, going back to your original question about family values, I think that triggers kind of a deep response from evangelical Christians, where we're saying this should not be.
Alan Cross is a Southern Baptist minister from Montgomery, Alabama. Reverend Cross, thank you again.
Thank you.